Este es un avance informativo presentado por La Voz de América desde Washington. Los tres principales índices bursátiles de Wall Street cerraron al alza este martes, ayudados por los valores energéticos y porque los inversores veían motivos para esperar un avance comercial entre Estados Unidos y China, después de que el presidente Donald Trump retrasó los aranceles a Canadá y México. Los nuevos aranceles estadounidenses del 10% a las importaciones chinas entraron en vigor este martes, a lo que Pekín respondió con gravámenes a productos de Estados Unidos. No estaba claro cuándo hablarían los líderes del país y Trump dijo que no tenía prisa. China impuso aranceles específicos a las importaciones de Estados Unidos este martes y puso a varias empresas, incluida Google, sobre aviso de posibles sanciones en una respuesta comedida a los aranceles de Trump. El primer avión militar estadounidense que transporta migrantes detenidos a la bahía de Guantánamo partió este martes, dijeron funcionarios, mientras el gobierno del presidente Trump busca albergar hasta decenas de miles de personas en la base naval en Cuba. Trump dijo que quiere que el Pentágono y el Departamento de Seguridad Nacional amplíen un centro de detención de migrantes en la base para albergar a más de 30.000 personas. La portavoz del Departamento de Seguridad Nacional de Estados Unidos, Tisha McLaughlin, dijo que el vuelo militar a Guantánamo transportaba entre 9 y 10 migrantes. La funcionaria los calificó de extranjeros criminales altamente peligrosos, pero no quiso dar más detalles.
Hollywood, Broadway, teatro, redes sociales, fotografía, estilos de vida, jazz, festivales y conciertos, premios a lo mejor del cine. Tres minutos con lo más destacado de la música popular estadounidense e internacional y las noticias del espectáculo. De todo un poco en el mundo del entretenimiento, de lunes a viernes con un servidor, Alejandro Escalona, desde La Voz de América en Washington.
Los mercados y monedas de acciones de América Latina cerraron este martes dispares, en medio de las tensiones comerciales derivadas de los anuncios de aranceles a varios países por parte del gobierno del presidente estadounidense Donald Trump. El ministro de Seguridad de Panamá dijo este martes que el secretario de Defensa de Estados Unidos tiene previsto viajar en abril al país centroamericano, donde ambos funcionarios pretenden trabajar juntos en estrategias para combatir la migración y el flujo de drogas. Cientos de militares y elementos de la Guardia Nacional de México se movilizaron este martes hacia la frontera con Estados Unidos como parte de un acuerdo el fin de semana entre ambos países para contener el tráfico de fentanilo y que puso en pausa aranceles del 25% del presidente Donald Trump a su socio comercial. Este es un avance informativo presentado por La Voz de América desde Washington. Les informó Tony Khan.
50% of the ISIS caliphate, and now the world seems to be ready to blow up, but we'll see if we can stop it.
Mr. President,
have you reached out to the Iranians about any kind of deal to start those discussions?
I would reach out. I mean, I have nothing. I'm one that doesn't care whether I reach out or they reach out. A lot of people say, let them reach out, sir. And to me, it doesn't matter. It's just talk. I want to see everybody do well. I want to see great countries, and I want to see peace in the Middle East and elsewhere. We're also working very hard with respect to Russia, Ukraine. That's a bloodbath. It's a total bloodbath. What's going on there is incredible. What's going on with the soldiers, young soldiers being killed by the thousands. I mean, literally by the thousands. And we want to see if we can get that stopped. And I think we've had some very good talks.
Any update on when you would speak to President Xi, sir? Any update on when you would speak to President Xi?
No, we'll speak to him at the appropriate time. I'm in no rush. At the appropriate time.
Do you think that conversation can lend itself to the type of freeze that it meant for the tariffs for Canada and
well,
Mexico?
We'll see what happens. I mean, well, there's a short-term freeze with Mexico, and, as you know, and with Canada. But they've agreed to be very, very strong on the border, stronger than they ever were by far, by a factor of about 30. And in addition to that, as you can see, we've been strong because we've had numbers like you've never seen before. I mean, the border is now closed, really closed. And with that being said, we're letting good people come through, and we want good people to come into our country. But the border is closed.
In your talks with Prime Minister Netanyahu today, do you intend to press him about how many deaths there have been amongst Palestinians? Are you concerned about that death?
I talk about that, too. You know, both sides mean a lot. I talk about that. I talk about the other side. I talk about everything.
What's your main message to him today during your meeting?
Well, I'm here to listen. He's here to see me, and I'm here to listen. So.
Will you continue to press for this idea that Jordan and Egypt take Palestinians from Gaza?
Yeah, I would like to see Jordan. I'd like to see Egypt take some. Look, the Gaza thing has not worked. It's never worked. And I feel very differently about Gaza than a lot of people. I think they should get a good, fresh, beautiful piece of land, and we get some people to put up the money to build it and make it nice and make it habitable and enjoyable and make it a home.
They don't want to leave, though. Palestinians say they don't want to leave.
I don't know how they could want to stay. It's a demolition site. It's a pure demolition site. If we could find the right piece of land or numerous pieces of land and build them some really nice places with plenty of money in the area, that's for sure. I think that would be a lot better than going back to Gaza, which has had just decades and decades of death.
Where would those pieces of land be?
Well, they could be in Jordan, and they could be in Egypt, and they could be in other places. You could have more than two, more than one, but you could have more than two. And you'd have people living in a place that could be very beautiful and safe and nice. Gaza's been a disaster for decades.
Would the U.S. pay for that?
I don't think the UN would pay, but I think there's plenty of people that would in the area. They have a lot of money. They certainly have a lot of money. Some of the countries over there, they'd like to see it. I know that Saudi Arabia wants to see peace. I can see that. And many of the countries there, as far as I'm concerned, they all want peace. I think, maybe I'm wrong on this, but I think Iran would like to see peace, too. They've had enough. Don't you think they've had enough?
But the leaders of Egypt and Jordan have said bluntly they have no interest in doing this.
Well, they may have said that, but a lot of people said things to me. They said they wouldn't take anybody back in Venezuela, and right now they're flying them right back into Venezuela. And a lot of and they're doing the right thing in Venezuela. The Panama Canal is an active discussion right now. They said things about that. And virtually everything that's been said has been incorrectly stated based on the result.
Wouldn't that amount to forcibly displacing those people from Gaza?
I think if they had the opportunity, they'd love it. If they had an alternative to Gaza, they have no alternative right now. I mean, they're there because they have no alternative. What do they have? It is a big pile of rubble right now. I mean, have you seen the pictures of it? Have you been there? It's terrible to live. Who can live like that? And very dangerous. There's shooting all over the place. There's bombing all over the place on both sides. No, I would think if they had an option of moving to an area, either in a large group or various smaller groups, and take care of the close to 2 million people, I would think that they would be thrilled to do it. They have no, you know, when you say about the Gaza Strip, they don't have an option.
To be clear, you're saying they'd be thrilled.
It's very dangerous.
They'd be thrilled to leave Gaza.
Oh, I think they'd love to leave Gaza if they had an option. Right now, they don't have an option. What are they going to do? They have to go back to Gaza. But what is Gaza? There's practically not a building standing. And they're very dangerous. You know, those buildings are shifting and they're falling down all over the place. And there's gunfire all over. It's going to be that way for a while.
Mr. President, wouldn't it have made more sense to evacuate people while the war was ongoing rather than now when there's a ceasefire?
Which is what you're talking about.
When it was more dangerous when there were strikes overhead than now.
Well, the strikes could start tomorrow. There's not a lot left to strike.
Exactly.
It's a demolition site. The whole place is demolished. It's unsafe. It's unsanitary. It's not a place where people want to live.
Mr. President,
nobody's gone. They have no alternative but to go back. If we gave them an alternative of living in a beautiful open place with some, you know, nice quarters there, nice housing of sorts, and we have the money in the Middle East to build that.
Do you support Israelis actually moving back and creating settled buildings?
Not necessarily. No, I just support cleaning it up and doing something with it. But it's failed for many decades, and somebody will be sitting here in 10 years or 20 years from now, and they'll be going through the same stuff, the wars, and you know, they've had civilizations on Gaza, many civilizations on Gaza. And they're buried in the sand.
Secretary Rubio.
It doesn't seem to work.
Secretary. On Elon Musk, how often are you talking to him? And have there been ideas that he's brought to you that you've said, oh, no, wait a minute, this is going a little too far?
Well, many ideas. But look, he's done a great job. Look at all the fraud that he's found in this U.S. AID. It's a disaster what the people, radical left lunatics, they have things that nobody would have even believed. The whole thing with $100 million spent on you-know-what, with money going to all sorts of groups that shouldn't deserve to get any money, with the money. I'd like to see what the kickbacks are. How much money has been kicked back? Who would spend that kind of money to some of the things that you read about and I read about and I see every night on the news and every morning when I read the papers? Who would spend money for that? I would say this. The people that got all that money, are they kicking it back to the people that gave it from government? No, that's, to me, very, very corrupt. The real question is, how much of a kickback has there been? And one of the things I want to investigate rapidly, because I've never seen anything to this extent, the train that's being built between Los Angeles and San Francisco is the worst managed project I think I've ever seen, and I've seen some of the worst. Billions and billions, hundreds of billions of dollars over budget. In fact, I read where you could